And from the KTOO Newsroom here in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Today is the last day to submit comments on proposed new Forest Service cabins around Southeast Alaska. There are over 50 proposed projects statewide. 10 of those would be on the Juneau Road System. The U.S. Forest Service wants to hear from Juneau residents about what amenities and features they love and don't love about the public cabin system. And the public comment section is open until midnight tonight. You can find a link to submit a comment at the U.S. Forest Service Alaska Region's website. That's fs.usda.gov/r10. And a PSA from the city, parks maintenance personnel will be using heavy equipment to excavate ditches and drainages on the lower Perseverance Trail from both trailheads to the metal fence. Weather dependent, this work is scheduled to be done on Tuesday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. each day. Portions of the trail will be closed during excavation. Access to the upper trail may be unavailable at times. Trail users are urged to use caution when approaching the work area, and please follow directions of the trail crew workers. This month marks the 50th anniversary of the Marine Mammal Protection Act, the law that prohibits killing marine mammals. There is an exception for Alaska Native people, and now the federal government works with tribes to manage animals for subsistence use. On St. Paul Island, there's a model for how this kind of partnership might guide Alaska's marine mammals and the people who depend on them through dramatic climate shifts. The tribal government there works with federal fisheries biologists to manage stellar sea lion and fur seal populations.
I think it's actually just gotten better as the years have gone in. We do have weekly meetings with them and, you know, try to keep up to date on things happening here.
Aaron Lesenkoff is a hunter and an island sentinel. Those are tribal members who monitor hunting and stranded marine mammals on St. Paul Island. Federal biologists only work seasonally on the island, but sentinels are there year-round. Lesenkoff says the changing climate has actually made fur seals more available in the last 10 years. They used to leave in the winter, but now some of them stay year-round. The tribe worked on an update to local regulations so hunters could take advantage of the longer seal season. Lauren Devine directs the ecosystem office for the tribal government on St. Paul. She says that federal regulation change was a milestone.
This is something that addresses our tribal member concerns, is led and funded by our tribal government as the lead entity.
She says the federal management needs to do more to keep up with climate change, but recent impacts of these federal partnerships have given her hope for the future. And more than 15 years after Ernestine Hayes published her memoir, Blonde Indian is becoming an audiobook. Hayes says she clearly remembers when the book came out that a woman in Juneau told her that she couldn't read it because of her eyesight.
And I always kept that at the back of my mind, that an audiobook for people who weren't able to read that size print or something like that, I would still love them to hear those stories.
Hayes decided to narrate the book herself. She says that when she reads the print version of Blonde Indian, she sees so many things that she would tell her creative writing students not to do. But reading the book aloud for the recording was a different experience.
I just enjoyed it and experienced all of it again. I was there with the cockroaches. I was hitchhiking on the old highway. I was on my way to Reno. It was all alive for me again.
There will be a release party tomorrow for the audiobook. Hayes and the production team will share stories and bloopers from the recording process. The event is free and open to the public. And for Hayes, it's a way to say thank you to all the people who have supported her, especially in difficult times.
I think that what we're doing is we're giving back to the community and thanking them for all the support and recognition and good wishes and goodwill that they've sent, and the strength that I receive just from knowing I'm part of such a community.
The audiobook version of Blonde Indian will be available on the digital platform at Patreon. The release party is at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center tomorrow at 6 p.m. And October is Filipino American History Month. When the Sitka Assembly met last week, the group issued a resolution acknowledging the month, and sponsors said is a step towards improving the city's outreach towards Sitka's Filipino community. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
October was first designated Filipino American History Month by the United States Congress in 2009, and the state of Alaska followed suit. Assemblymember Crystal Duncan did a little digging and found out that it hadn't been officially recognized by Sitka's local government. She co-sponsored the resolution to affirm it locally with Mayor Steven Eisenbeis. But before they brought the resolution to the table, they sought some help creating it.
Because, of course, I've stated publicly, nothing about us without us is for us. And so for me, tonight I was acting as an ally. So as we drafted it, of course, Stephen and I, we don't come from this community. And so we wanted to make sure that we worked in partnership with folks who did represent and could review, edit, make recommendations.
Duncan worked with local pastor Benny Grace Nabwa to develop the language in the proclamation. Nabwa thanked the assembly for the recognition.
And I am very joyful to hear about this resolution. In our culture, we can't lift our own chairs, what you said. And so even if we believe that this is something that is very, very important to our people, we can't even lift a finger, you know, to do something about it. So thank you, Crystal and Mayor Eisenbeis, for this effort. And it's not just the recognition, but the intentional recognition that this is something that is very important for our youth to acknowledge that they do not have to blend in, that they can actually stand out as a people.
While the resolution was widely supported at the assembly table, one member of the public, Kim Elliott, questioned whether it was divisive.
I just want you to know that I have no problem with this particular thing. It's just another one of those things that seems to separate us when we should be united.
But Assemblymember Kevin Mosier disagreed.
I don't see this as being a divisive thing. We are Americans and Sitkins, and this is just a way of valuing the special, unique aspects of different communities.
It's part of the city's strategic plan to improve its communication with the community and foster relationships to improve services with underrepresented groups and populations within Sitka. And Duncan said the resolution was one action the assembly could take toward that goal.
And so I felt that this was one way that we could establish that that's something that we do want to work on. And then I hope, if anything, the Filipino community can read this, knowing that we do see you, we appreciate you, and moving forward, this will become a staple recognition, just like some of the other things that we've recognized throughout the year.
The resolution proclaiming October as Filipino American History Month passed unanimously. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And a Fairbanks woman is recycling glass bottles and jars by pulverizing them into sand. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
Goldstream Valley resident Erin Kuiper says she was frustrated with the lack of glass recycling in the Fairbanks area and remembered a news story about a bar in New Zealand with a machine that crushed beer bottles.
Into this machine that looked like a vending machine, and it would immediately crush it into fine sand, and then they would use the sand to rebuild their beaches.
The Goldstream Valley doesn't have any beaches to rebuild, but sand is a widely useful resource. And Kuiper says she had a lot of glass containers.
And so I either had to start throwing out all of the glass that I'd saved, or I had to get this machine.
Kuiper says she found the New Zealand-built machine at a company on the East Coast, but it cost about $8,000 plus another $700 for shipping. So she started a GoFundMe and shared the link with fellow Goldstream area residents on Facebook and raised about $5,400.
So supportive of it that I purchased the machine.
Kuiper says she hopes community members will continue to back the project.
People who donate glass will donate money as well to the cause. And I'm just happy to be around like-minded people who also don't want to create more trash and want to do something usable with their glass.
Kuiper is operating the crusher out of her home garage.
It's pretty small. It weighs just over 200 pounds. It's about as tall as my 3-year-old son. And it's fairly quiet as well. So it's pretty usable in a residential area.
Kuiper says the machine crushes glass containers as fast as she can feed them into it.
You know, olive jars, pickle jars, and I've done a lot of beer bottles.
Kuiper is looking for ideas on how the resulting sand could be used.
To have people in the community or businesses who want to take some of this sand and play around with it and trial it.
Kuiper says she's processing different colors of glass separately, and the sand could have landscaping, decorative, and art applications. She encourages anyone with ideas for the sand or just interested in dropping off glass for recycling to contact her via Facebook. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And this is KTOO. Happy Halloween.